Family of God, let's pray. Lord God and Father, we ask that today and the days ahead that you would be gracious in pouring out your Holy Spirit upon each and every one of us, our church family, and all of our loved ones. We also ask that you would give all of us a remarkable increase in the gift of true Christian faith, so that we may indeed be able to see as we proclaim your holy word today. Enliven us so that we may understand you and your purpose for our lives. We pray for this in the most holy name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, I encourage you to open your Bibles and listen, for these are the very words of God coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this may be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Brothers and sisters, these are the very words of God. Thanks be to God. In the past, I was going through a whole series of appointments with a cardiologist. And so, as I've had issues with my heart that is currently slightly too small for my body, I have seen a cardiologist quite often. So, if I ever act like a Grinch, you now know why. It has become routine for me to go through stress tests, as routine as doctor appointments can be. As a friend of mine says, a routine doctor appointment is something that a friend of yours goes through, just like minor surgery is surgery on someone else. And I'll soon need to go through another stress test again. But before they do that, I'll need an echocardiogram, which many of us have probably had. I can still remember the first time that I had one of those echocardiograms. For those of you who have ever had one, they squirt this ultrasound gel on your chest, and then they pull out this little doohickey called a transducer, and they put that transducer on your chest wall, and poof, voila, on a screen, you see a picture of your heart. So obviously, the little doohickey, the transducer, doesn't cause something that wasn't there to appear magically. No, your heart was always there. The transducer could make you see something that, without the aid of the transducer, you and I may not be able to see that it was there. Certainly not in the detail that the transducer reveals. That image has come to mind for the last week, because the Holy Scripture is like that transducer. The inspired Word of God enables you and me to see things that we can't see on our own. Things that are really and spiritually there, but not visible to our senses, to the naked eye. Whenever we come to a worship service, one of the main objectives is to learn from God and to follow Jesus by learning from Jesus so that he can teach us about reality. You and I live in a world that is filled with specialists. We have heart doctors, orthopedic doctors, tax attorneys, financial planners, personal trainers, and experts in ballroom dancing and Greek cooking. You name it, and we have an expert or specialist for it. Jesus, my friends, is the specialist of reality. He is the expert on humanity because God spoke creation and us into being. You and I are created in God's image and likeness. Jesus knows everything that there is to know. Everything that has been made was made through Jesus. Jesus, the Word made flesh. And Jesus wants to show us reality. Jesus wants to give us the gift of faith. Many of us have heard others say, or maybe we have said it ourselves, that faith is blind. True Christian faith, my friends, is not blind. Faith is the most accurate way of seeing. Faith is the most accurate way of knowing. Faith is the brightest light that humanity can ever experience here on earth. Faith is like wearing a pair of glasses. Without glasses, many people cannot see clearly. Many people, if they do not wear their glasses, can comprehend that there are objects in front of them, but cannot see them clearly. But when they wear their glasses, the world around them unblurs, and things become crisp and clear. Faith, my friends, it's like that. Faith enables people to see clearly, but without them, without our glasses, without faith, people stumble and sin and fall. Faith allows you, me, and others to see reality as it actually is. So what does Jesus want you and me to see today? What is it about reality that God wants to know? And maybe, not just for today, but especially as we prepare for the celebration of Christmas later this week, I think it is three things that our Holy Scripture is pointing to today. First, there is much more to reality than what you and I can see. We live in a hyper-scientific world. If you and I can't prove it scientifically, it isn't there for our society. Understand, though, that right there is not a scientific claim. That's a philosophical claim. That's a religious claim. It's also one that's really depressing. What do you do with love? How do you or I scientifically demonstrate love? How do we put love underneath the microscope? If life is simply everything that we can see, then life is really dull. But the reality that the Holy Scripture is trying to tell us, that Jesus is trying to reveal to us in his holy word, is that life here is an incredible mingle of the physical and the spiritual together, of the material and the immaterial together. You and I right now live in an enthralled world. There is really such a thing as angels, and they are right now among us. Just because God doesn't allow us to experience them with our senses doesn't mean that they are not actually there. Angels and spiritual beings ascend and descend on Jacob's ladder. They are revealed to be all around the servant of Elisha. And Holy Scripture also tells us that we may mingle with angels or spiritual beings and not even know it. Sometimes those angels are actually revealed to human beings, like in the case of Mary today with Gabriel, but oftentimes they are not. But angels are actually there. That is not a fairy tale. That is a biblical reality. And the Holy Scripture that we just heard testifies to that reality. Friends, there is really such a thing as grace. But he gives more grace. Therefore, God opposes the proud, but gives the grace, his grace to the humble. James 4:6. Passages about God gifting his grace, my friends, are not cute poetic statements, but they are the truth. It is a reality. But what is biblical grace? What is godly grace? Grace is God's own life, his spiritual but no less real life that he pours out and gives to his people. Grace is God's supernatural power and strength and guidance to enable you and me to do things that we can't do alone. There is really such a thing as miracles. One of the more encouraging and remarkable things is when God's church and people live into its calling and life that God desires for us to have. I have seen with my own eyes extraordinary things occur when the church doesn't just see its programs and life of the church as one more thing to do, but rather as a godly mission and blessing and fellowship that they want to give their lives to. In such circumstances, I have experienced people giving testimonies and witnesses to tremendous works of salvation and miracles that God has done in their lives and in the lives of the loved ones that they have been praying for. A few weeks ago, we learned that the Holy Scriptures and faithful church history points to the fact that the early church and the church throughout the centuries have grown through preaching and teaching, the bold proclamation of the gospel, the virtuous and justice-filled works of the church, and signs and wonders. Even today, the Christian church and God's people continue to faithfully see and experience trustworthy and reliable signs and wonders through God's church and people by only the power of God. We see people's lives dramatically changed when we hear God say through the angel that nothing is impossible for God. And he meant it. God doesn't lie. So that's the first thing. There is much more to reality than what we can see. Second, the primary author or the primary actor in life is not us, but God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But often, from our perspective, God works in a relatively hidden way. And to us, it may seem that he is working bizarrely. Often, friends, divinity is where you least expect to find it. The angel Gabriel did not appear to the Queen of Sheba. He did not appear to the princess in Egypt or to the emperor in Rome. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in a small dinky town called Nazareth, which is so insignificant that it is never even mentioned in the Old Testament. But God is the primary actor in history. God is pulling all of his creation and you and me somewhere. God has a plan and he's leading us somewhere, even if, and especially if, we don't sense it, or if God is acting unexpectedly. And third, the reality is that Jesus wants you and me to know, most especially this week, that out of all that God has made, visible and invisible, material and immaterial, physical and spiritual, God has one thing, one creation that he loves more than any other thing in all of creation. You. And you. And you. Us. Humanity. Don't get me wrong. God loves baby seals. He's concerned about the rainforests. He loves the Great Lakes. He loves the Great Plains. He loves the mountains. He loves pandas. He loves the planets. He loves and cares for it all by his providence. And you and I are meant to care for it all as well. But he loves us more than anything. And for us, he has become one of us, born of the Virgin Mary, to save us, his people, from eternal frustration and sin and damnation. What's the upside of all of that? Hope. Hope. Not wishful thinking, but hope. And hope is certainty. Hope is like a strong anchor that will hold you in place forever through any storm. For many people, these are difficult days. Not just for people who live in the world, but these days can be difficult for us here at Cornerstone here. Some of us here are getting a bit older, and our health is frailer. No small number of us have lost loved ones. A friend, a husband, a wife, a child, a mom, a dad. There are people who are sick, many of us, especially at this time of year, as we celebrate the holidays and Christmas, can look back and get nostalgic, which is okay. But this is what the Holy Scripture is trying to reveal to us as we think about the reality that God is pulling us, pulling you and me, his people, his church, his world, in a particular direction. Friends, the best is yet to come. The best is not behind us. The best is ahead. Because God is pulling us and leading us home. God is leading us home. Even with all its joys, toys, distractions, diversions, and amusement, this life will never be enough. It will be great to open up our gifts under our tree, especially for our little ones come Wednesday, Christmas Day, the beginning of the 12 days of Christmas. Or maybe your family will open them up on a different day. Just know this now. Next year, you're going to want more stuff. Because I want more. You want more. And the more that we all actually want is the more that God is preparing for us. That is the more that everyone wants, even if we try to ignore it or deny it. So, with all that in mind, I want to suggest two quick things that we might want to ask for ourselves this Christmas. If you are like me, you might still be scrambling for a few gifts. But I feel like the Lord wants you and I to quiet down and approach Him this Christmas season, because He likes to give gifts far more than we do. Two things then. First, let's ask God for the gift of true Christian faith, that God would gift us, His people, with a more incredible faith. And let's seek that true Christian faith. Faith is a gift from God alone. God wants to pour out His Holy Spirit upon every single member of His church so that we might see reality, so that we may live with hope, so that we would live with confidence, not only when things are going well, but especially when things are not. Second, ask God for the desire to read Holy Scripture. The less I read God's holy word, the more despairing I become. The more I read God's holy word, the more trustworthy I become. Because of this, God's holy word is like that little doohickey, that transducer. It tells me and you about reality. It tells me that I have a father. It tells me that I am his son. It tells me that for me, God has sent his son. It tells me that life will be hard, but it also tells me that he will be there no matter what comes my way. He will give me grace, and he one day will bring me and you home to that great celebration in heaven. And that desire to read God's holy word would be a great gift this Christmas season, because it will give me and you a greater hope for all those things. And then it will help us to be a greater light to this dark world, which for them will be also a great hope. May it be so. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. So let's pray. Father, we ask that your goodness would fall upon us, your children. Lord God, just as we are running around trying to find that perfect gift for those that we love, help us to remember that you, as our perfect Father, want to give far more than what we do. So give us the great gift of true Christian faith and a hunger for your holy word, so that we may not walk through this life blindly, but be able to see and live with great and amazing hope. Amen. Praise be to God.